At the NAMA Trends in Agriculture Conference, I am speaking to our opening speaker, and that is Mark Pearson. First of all, Mark, I think probably a lot of our audience knows you, know what you do, but tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're doing these days.
All right, Chuck, I have a number of jobs. People that know my wife understand. I do a market-to-market on public television. I've done that for 20 years, and it's a farm program. Then I do the noon show for WHO Radio. We call it the big show from 11:30 to 1 every day. And then I manage money. I manage about $100+ million for about 500 families and business owners. And so that's kind of what I do. And then we have a farm, and we corn, soybeans, cows. And, you know, up until a couple of years ago, we had 4 kids at home. Now we've only got 1 at home. So I don't know. The cows may have to go. We'll see. I love them. I'd see them go, but kind of hard to do all this stuff, keep the cows going.
I was going to say, that's a lot of work you're describing there. Here at this conference, we're going to have a gathering of agri-marketers, professionals in the industry. As we're looking ahead, I think you're going to tell us a little bit about what you see ahead for agriculture. Why don't you kind of give us a few of your thoughts?
All right. Well, real quick, Chuck, there's 3 major areas I talk about. Number one is the general business outlook, general economic outlook, world GDP and its growth, and where the economy is. We think the economy looks good. We think the world economy is strengthening nicely. We keep hearing about this new normal. There's just normal. It's fear and greed. Now we're starting to get greed back, which is, you know, to quote Mr. Gecko, good. We'd like to see that. So things are starting to improve on that standpoint. We've got a lot of debt out there in the world. We're starting to chew away on it, and we will chew away on it, and we will overcome it. We always do. So that's, I guess, the big thing. We expect a better GDP growth in 2011. Nice recovery so far this year. Inventories are down. We're seeing good demand for product with that lower inventory. People are starting to restock, and that's just all good signs. Unemployment remains high. It's probably going to stay high. We've got increased productivity out there. People working longer and harder hours. There's concerns about, you know, some policy issues with Washington, with health care and other things. The Bush tax cuts are a big issue, and that's holding up people making some investment decisions. It's also spurring some people to make sales and take advantage of a 15% capital gain. So those are the things that are happening right now. A lot of, you know, angst over what will happen with the elections and so forth. But, you know, things will happen as they happen, and the economy tends to run itself. Fear and greed drive all that. The second thing are these commodity markets. Of course, that's what we cover on Market to Market. We cover it on our radio program every day. We've got a stable of analysts that we talk to, and you know, we're in a bull market for corn. We're in a bull market for soybeans. We're in a bull market for cotton. We've been in a huge bull market for wheat, thanks to the weather problems that we've had. So we're seeing the world is again coming to the United States to be fed, which is a good thing and a positive thing. Then the third leg of the whole stool, and I want to mention livestock, because you talked about I talked about the cow herd first, the Pearson place. You know, it's been a frustrating few years for the livestock industry, disastrous for the hog business and for poultry with the big run-up in commodity prices, with the increase in ethanol. A lot of big questions about what's going to happen with ethanol. Nobody knows. Neil Harrell, one of the foremost experts in agricultural taxation and law, I saw him at the airport the other morning, and he doesn't know. He said, I don't know what this Congress is going to do. We don't know what's going to happen. But I think it was foreshadowed what's going to happen by what happened to the soy biodiesel initiative and what happened there. That tax credit went away. They've tried 12 different ways to get it back in. It didn't happen. I think that's what's going to happen with ethanol. I think their mandates are still going to be there, but ethanol is going to be higher priced at the pump, and they'll have to struggle at the marketplace. So we'll see what happens. It's an important area. I'm a former Navy officer, so I talk about strategic issues. And, you know, we have free trade because we have a blue water Navy. We keep the sea lanes of communication open. That makes it possible for ships to move throughout the world. And that strategic issue in our relationship with China is critical. We use a lot of crude oil. China uses a lot of crude oil. We're going to bang heads at some point. But the China growth is going to continue. We see agricultural growth continue in the BRIC countries, Brazil, Russia, India, and China. Continued expansion in South America for U.S. soybean and cotton production, which we need. The world's going to need that. So those are all places where we see growth. But what we see happening now is China being a catalyst to open up another billion-person market that's been ignored, and that's Africa. I had dinner a couple of weeks ago with the Prime Minister of Tanzania. This is a country that 80% of the population are subsistence farmers. Those farmers are women. The men are carrying water from 3 to 5 kilometers for the family to drink. They have no electricity. This is a country that wants to expand. They have some highland areas that can be very productive ground. We're seeing some interest from U.S. companies to go into countries like that in Africa. China's had huge success. They've invested a couple $1 billion in the Congo, building roads. So I think they're going to be a catalyst to open up Africa. And there's another billion people that we can be feeding, and I think will provide the next leg of agricultural demand.
So this morning I heard an interesting comment from a friend who's just gotten back from Europe, and he was talking about how weak the dollar is in relation to the euro there. Has this had much of an impact for us here in terms of our exports, for example? Because he said the plane was filled with people just coming over here ready to go shopping.
Well, of course, we had a huge rally the dollar against the euro right at the first of the year. Everyone became panic-stricken when Greece was having problems. And there's a lot of questions about the survivability of the European economic community, period, as it stands today. And I think that's probably a good concern, because you've got a huge difference there in cultures and religion and ethnic outlooks. You've got a Bavarian BMW worker, 55 years old, working 10 hours a day, probably working half a day on Saturday at the BMW plant, and he's reading the paper that his fiscal organization is bailing out Greek workers who are retiring at 55 or 52 on the government dole, and he's not a happy camper. Those are the kind of stresses that we're seeing in Europe right now that led people to flee euros and come back home to the dollar. But, you know, over time, it really comes back down to economic growth, and it comes down to who's using products and how much. And if you look at what's happening in Europe now, we've seen a normal recovery of our euro-dollar relationship. And that's good for us in agriculture. We want cheap dollars. We really do. Now, as a country, of course, we like to see our dollar strong. The dollar is always going to be the world's reserve currency. You don't have to take an economics class to understand that. That's the status of the reserve currency goes to whoever has the biggest guns, and that's us. And hopefully will continue to be us.
So as you talk to this audience here, these folks are involved in making marketing decisions, which is everything from advertising to public relations, various types of communications. In light of what you see, is there anything that you think they maybe should really keep in mind as they look at how are we going to spend what in some cases are fairly limited resources to market our products, our company, our brand?
You've got to remember, these folks are marketing largely to farmers. Farmers have been in a buying mood now, really, since this bull market began on the 15th of September 2006. It's been a long run. Is there some fatigue out there? Probably a little bit. But farmers out there in the countryside understand that this is still a commodity business. And it's the low-cost producer. And if that entails purchasing the latest planting technology, if that entails purchasing the latest crop technology, if that entails purchasing the GPS, whatever, producers are going to do that because they know over time they're going to get that money back in spades, because they're going to be the low-cost producer. And at the end of the day, in our world, that's what matters.
What do you have any anticipation of the types of questions they might have for you? You know, just kind of looking at this group, I know you've been around them for a long time.
So. Well, I think, you know, the big question is, you know, what's going to look out there? What's the demand situation going to be looking for? Where are farmers getting information now? You know, I don't know too many successful producers out there who aren't carrying an iPhone or a BlackBerry. I don't know too many successful producers out there who haven't, aren't locked into the internet and are not staying totally up to speed, who aren't utilizing marketing plans that are computer driven. Those people are they're out on the very edge, and they expect information to be available constantly. We have an information overload, I think, for the general population, but less so in agriculture. I think people tend to pick what it is that they want to hear and what they want to where they want to gather their news. And that's become, as you know, a bigger and bigger issue. I mean, you see it with your operation. People are tuning in on the internet to you folks. They're tuning into all these information sources and literally editing their own publication, their own broadcast, which I think is a great thing. I mean, I think it provides more competition out here in the agricultural areas. But I think everyone is tuned into the fact we've been through a lot. The last couple of years have been through a lot of issues, through a lot of problems. We've had a lot of growth in agriculture. We've ignored a lot of the problems that have hit the other economic sectors. And because of that, we're in a really good position to take advantage of it. I again, but Farmers are looking for partners out there. They're looking for people, whether it's their lender, whether it's their seed dealer, whether it's their equipment dealer. They're looking for people who are partners and who have more than just a bottom line interest in them, but are going to add value to that relationship. And so I think that's one of the things I don't think we need to talk to this group about, because I think they all know it. It's true.
Well, let's put it this way. We don't all know everything, that's for sure. So there's always something to be learned every day and every one of these sessions I go to. So I'm looking forward to your presentation here. And I will just throw in here at the end of our interview that because we are talking about a digital world and a mobile world, for those who are on Twitter, there is an official hashtag for the conference, which is the #, #NAMATrends. So pound #NAMATrends for those of you tweeting, and we'll be looking to see who is tweeting, especially as we tweet about Mark.
There you go. I love to be tweeted.
Do you get like a little bit of a, you know, certain kind of feeling, or does the hair stand on end?
You know, I've always felt that to get tweeted, you know, I had hoped in my prom date. I thought there'd be some tweeting there, but nothing happened. But I'll tell you what, when I look at this communication system, and I see the instantaneous response and the instantaneous availability of information, I see great things with it. It has problems, too. You know, in the old days, Walter Cronkite used to filter all our news for us. And that's not the case now. I've got 90 different channels to go to. I've got somebody sending something up on the internet, posting what you guys do, getting an immediate response to it. So it actually creates more work for the consumer in a lot of ways. So, but I think people sort through all that. And people, if you talk to them as adults, man, they love this stuff.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much, Mark Pearson. Yeah. He's our kickoff speaker here for the 2010 NAMA Trends in Agriculture Conference. I'm Chuck Zimmerman reporting.